Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening on the phone and also on the radio later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful Sabbath morning, May 26, 2018. This is our review from Lesson 254, Chapter 54, by the title of The Good Samaritan Part 2. Our opening song to our series is entitled, Here Are My Hands. Here are my hands, help them serve. Let my mouth speak your words, and my ears to hear your voice. Guide my feet to follow your path. Got my eyes to see all that you want me to be, and I will obey you with all my heart, and I will obey you with all my heart. Here are my hands, help them serve. Let my mouth speak your words, and my ears to hear your voice. Got my feet to follow your path, got my eyes to see all that you want me to be, and I will obey you with all my heart, and I will obey you with all my heart. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open with prayer, bubble up.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts. Our Father, we thank you for in this field to have this for today. We thank you for in this field to have it in us today. Forgive us all for our sins, our iniquities, and our crossing spirits. Forgive us if we've done anything wrong or said and knowing. I pray you may be with us wherever we may go and whatever we may do. Be with us as we have yet another blessed Sabbath. And also, I pray that we may be able to keep on cherishing all the lessons that we learn and studying in the Word, your Word. I pray that you may be able to help us accomplish some of the things that we may have a hard time getting out of. I also pray that you may be able to let us keep in mind that you're always there to help us no matter what troubles we may face. Be with any of our brethren who couldn't make it, and also pray that you may be able to strengthen us. Let us be able to be of good cheer. Let us be able to also keep on being thoughtful for everything that you taught us and everything that you've given us. I also pray once more that you may be able to let us be strong and be courageous and be unselfish, self-forgetful, also trustful in all of our thinkings and all of our actions. We love you, Lord God, looking forward to being in the land you promised us. This is my prayer in Jesus Christ's holy name.
Amen. And welcome to our dear family coming in. Our opening verse for our review lesson is from Psalms 100, verses 2 to 4 from the King James Version. So, dear ones, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands, and serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into the gates of thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? But before we hear your questions and your testimonies and your songs, Let us take a few minutes to review what you have read last Sabbath from part 1 of our lesson entitled The Good Samaritan Part 2 in our lesson book, The Sign of Ages. If anyone would like to take the first part, bubble up, dear ones.
The Sign of Ages, page 498. Again, Jesus refused to be drawn in the controversy. He did not denounce the bigotry of those who were watching to condemn him. But by a simple story, he held up before his hearers such a picture of the outpouring of heaven-born love as touched all hearts and drew from the lawyer a confession of the truth. Disciples, page 198, paragraph 4.
So it was in continuing, the way to dispel darkness is to admit light. The best way to deal with error is to present truth. It is the revelation of God's love that makes manifest the deformity and sin of the heart centered in self. The Sign of Ages, on page 498, paragraph 5. And on the slide, it shows a picture of the Holy Bible and a heart that is disobeying, telling lies, fighting, hate, have pride. And cheating and having evil thoughts and stealing. And it also says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And that is from Psalm 119, 105, verse 105.
The Sign of Ages, page 499. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked at him and passed by on the other side. Luke 10:30-32. This was no imaginary scene, but an actual occurrence, which was known to be exactly as represented. The priest and the Levite who had passed by on the other side were in the company that listened to Christ's words. The Sign of Ages, 499, paragraph 1.
In journeying from Jerusalem to Jericho, the traveler had to pass through a portion of the wilderness of Judea. The road led down a wild rocky ravine, which was infested by robbers and was often the scene of violence. It was here that the traveler was attacked, stripped of all that was valuable, wounded and bruised, and left half dead by the wayside. As he lay thus, the priest came that way, but he merely glanced toward the wounded man. Then the Levite appeared, curious to know what had happened. He stopped and looked at the sufferer. He was convicted of what he ought to do, but it was not an agreeable duty. He wished that he had not come that way, so that he need not have seen the wounded man. He persuaded himself that the case was no concern of his. The Sign of Ages, page 499, paragraph 2.
The Sign of Ages, page 499. Both these men were in sacred office and professed to expound the scriptures. They were the class specially chosen to be representatives of God to the people. They were to have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. Hebrews 5:2, that they might lead men to understand God's great love toward humanity. Next slide, please.
Continuing the reading, this outrageous, page 499. Sabbath blessing, everyone. Continue the work that they were called to do was the same that Jesus had described in his own when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty them that are bruised. Amen. Luke 4:18, Desirages 499, paragraph 3. Amen.
Desirages, page 500. The angels of heaven look upon the distress of God's family upon the earth, and they are prepared to cooperate with men relieving oppression and suffering. God in his providence had brought the priests and the Levite along the road where the wounded sufferer lay, that they might see his need of mercy and help. All heaven watched to see if the hearts of these men would be touched with pity for human woe. The Savior was the one who had instructed the Hebrews in the wilderness. From the pillar of cloud and of fire, he had taught a very different lesson from that which the people are now receiving from their priests and teachers. The merciful provisions of the law extend even to the lower animals, which cannot express in their words their want and suffering. Directions had been given to Moses for the children of Israel to this effect. Zohar Vedas, page 500, paragraph 1, margin.
Amen. Good job, everyone. So let's consider this verse for our review section, taken from 1 Peter 3:15 from the King James, and it will be a memory verse in a song. Was sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned? Our ways that have grown. Well, dear ones, this is the section where we have the mic open for any questions, any testimonies.
Are the angels? Do the angels of heaven watch us? Anyone who suffers?
I think I understood your question. Do the angels? Do they watch the sufferers? They see, but for the most part, They don't get involved until they, they don't care for the suffering themselves directly. They influence a human to come along and give the aid that's necessary to the suffering one, whether it's a sickness or an injury.
Well, based on our study, dear Josh, in Desire Ages, page 500, if you look on slide 14, it states that the angels of heaven look upon the distress of God's family upon the earth, and they are prepared to cooperate with men in relieving oppression and suffering. So God in his providence had brought the priests and the Levites along, and if they would have been moved with the spirit that the Lord would have upon the suffering, the angels could have also impressed them as well. There is a question in the room, and it says, at the time when the Levite passed the Samaritan, was it the time of the Passover? And there is another question. I believe there was something that they were actually at the time of the season. But just to be able to verify, just give me 5 minutes. I will, if any one of the dear brethren would like to answer, if you have it from the top of your thought through Bible and Spirit of Prophecy, Babala. It's continuing the question. If he had touched the wounded man, would he have been considered unclean for 7 days and missed the Passover or do not participate? Well, there is laws in the ceremonial where they had to be able to follow according to the ceremonial law. But I just have to be able to look and see if it was actually that particular season. But there was a lot of the ceremonials and the creed that the priests and the Levites, they took that more as an excuse of why they should not have done certain acts. But the Lord wanted them to know beyond that even though that they have these laws, there was a law above all of those, and those was the one with the precept of the Decalogue, which is the law of love, which is the Ten Commandments. And they had to take that into consideration. But sometimes priests and different type of men in religious position,
they put the creed above whom the creed was supposed to be given from. If they would have had the connection with Christ in harmony with God and listening to every step and instruction, by allowing him to be the channel of who they were guided by, they would have listened to the same way how this Good Samaritan, as he was passing, he didn't have any bondage of decrees, but he just did what he would have wanted someone to do for him. He had compassion.
Amen. Amen. Happy Sabbath, one and all. When you look in the Levitical laws, and especially in those dealing with cleansing, individuals that had leprosy or what may be leprosy, they had to be set aside for 7 days to make sure it was leprous, or perhaps it was just a boil or whatever. But they were considered unclean until that period of observation had occurred. And if they were leprous, then they were unclean until the leprosy was no more. If it was just a boil, then they were pronounced clean and they would still be watched, but not so much in confinement. But there was nothing regarding injury or nationality or race that made someone unclean. But the Jews, in their own traditions or their own bigotry, pronounced everyone that was not of the Israelite faith to be unclean. So if it was during the feast time, then according to their tradition, they could not minister or touch any of the Samaritans or any of the heathen, but that's not found in the scriptures. So for that Levite or that priest to tend to that wounded man, they would not have been biblically unclean, but according to their own commandments, tradition, they would have been. So they were actually placing their tradition on the same level of sacredness as God's word. And individuals are still doing the same today, not realizing it's commandments of men and not commandments of God.
I don't want to give away the next chapter of our study, but it did say that because they were actually educated in bigotry and all these different manifestations that they were actually experiencing. And I noticed that also that happens in today. The teaching that individuals have according to church creed or even according to their tradition also allow them to sin against God by misinterpretation or even by misrepresenting the Lord in their action. So just as we have in the beginning of our study, the only way that we can be able to remove the darkness from the heart and for tradition of men is by just revealing the truth. What I found to be very important is that the Lord, I just want to go back to the study where I have seen this. It says that Jesus refused to be drawn into controversy. He did not denounce the bigotry of those who were watching to condemn him, but by a simple story he held up before his hearer, because among them was those two men that passed by and left the sufferer unattended. And by giving the simple story, that simplicity of the story and the truth that is in Jesus had actually did the work that would have never been done if there was a controversy and an argument. So that is something that was very heavy and resonated in my heart as the way how to handle certain situations, to allow the Word of God to be able to do the work. In slide 7, it says, the way to dispel darkness is to admit light. The best way to deal with error is to present truth. And that is what's supposed to really do the plowing in the heart of man. Because only the purity of the truth that is in Jesus can be able to awaken man from the dark places of tradition. Is there any questions? So if there's no questions at this time, meanwhile, we can continue to allow the question to come about in our youth study. But if there's any songs that any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to share, you could bubble up. Oh, there is one question. Just a minute. It says, so no matter how big or small, when the truth is presented, the Lord will do his work. Indeed, my sister. I believe. We have to remember that it's the Lord still working through us. And he's still ministering. Even though in the past he was there physically, he's still here as he move among his people, especially those that are given present truth in an unpopular time and a doctrine that a lot of people will not want to hear because it's going to kind of bring about to change or to reform their life. So it's the same Jesus then than it is now. He said also, whether they believe or not. Like farmers, we are just told to be able to, you know, to throw the seeds and about the heart that's supposed to receive it and how it's supposed to receive. We have to leave that in Christ Jesus because he's the one that can be able to bring about conversion, conviction, a new life. She said, even a prideful heart is all hearts, every ground the Lord is able to penetrate. If there's any other questions, I'm not okay. One who feels I don't know everything. Oh, definitely. That's what happened with the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. They were not ignorant men. They were men that not only they had the teaching that was left through Moses and the prophets, but also the Lord chose them to be able to be depositories of the word of God. So they were learned men, but the pride is something that becomes a wall and will not allow what is more important in their experience, the power of God, to penetrate the heart so they can execute what the Lord had gave them. Amen. Our dear Brother Bob, he had actually quoted that all things are possible with God. And our sister Christina said, the Lord used them to spread the truth, even though they were prejudiced. But do you know that because the Lord used these men for the purpose of giving the gospel, it is also a way that while they are given the gospel, the very truth is like a double-edged sword. It's not only for those that he has to share, but also for himself. And the scripture also said, by beholding, we become transformed. It could happen to us too. If I get in between what the Lord has to do through me, and I use any kind of pride or feeling or anything like that, I could hinder his work. And that happens because I may place myself in a place where the Lord never intended. Everyone that is given the truth, they have a responsibility, and they are going to be accountable to it as well. So it's a very solemn and fearful thing because you're dealing with God, you know. So the more you get to know the truth, the more you should tremble, because one word that you might tell someone or something that you might give them, it could cause them to fall and stumble, and you don't want to do that. So anytime when we share the word of God, we really have to keep our opinions and what we feel aside and allow God to be able to use the instrument, not only the one that is speaking, but the receiver. For he's the one that working through the power of the Holy Spirit for both souls, not only for one.
I have a little excerpt from the Spirit of Prophecy. And it says, I was reading Isaiah chapter 61 this morning, and a Bible reference, for verse 11. And verse 11 says, for as the earth bringeth forth her bud, And as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. And as the reference goes for that verse, it says, as in the natural, so in the spiritual sowing, the teacher of truth must seek to prepare the soil of the heart. He must sow the seed, but the power that alone can produce life is from God. There is a point beyond which human effort is in vain. While we are to preach the word, we cannot impart the power that will quicken the soul and cause righteousness and praise to spring forth. And that is from Christ's Object Lesson, page 63 and 64.
Thank you, dear Sister Cece. Or dear ones, if there's any testimony that you'd like to share, you are welcome. But we have come to the section where we're going to also allow our dear brother Dick to be able to ask questions in the section of the story time. So, bubble up, dear brother.
That's it. It would be good if I bubbled up. All right, boys and girls. I'm having problems with this computer this morning. I don't know. It took me 5 minutes. I fell out of Word, and it took me 5 minutes to get it back. So I have it back at the present time. Let's hope it keeps working. Boys and girls, do you have any questions regarding last week's story? If so, pop them in the room. Let's see here. And we'll see what we can do. Well, okay, thank you, Joan Rose. All right. Last week, we talked about preserving the living machinery. You know what that was? That's the body. John the Apostle, the beloved John, said, behold, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. 3 John 2. That was a little verse that used to be mother hung up inside of her health food store, and I remembered it since I was a kid. John wanted people to be healthy physically, not just have all the Sabbath school memory verses learned. The right use of oneself is the most valuable lesson that can be learned. What is the right use of yourself? You use your words and your actions to please God and to help others. You know that inasmuch as you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's it. We are to make the best use of the various parts that compose the human machinery. Now, motors have many parts that work together to keep the car going down the road. So the human body has many parts that work together so that we can work and play. They are brain, bone, muscle, head, and heart. If you have no brain, you're a vegetable. If you have no bones, you're a jellyfish. If you have no muscles, you're just a skeleton. And if you have no head or heart, you're dead. It takes all of them to serve God acceptably. We are to use the physical powers proportionately or equally with the mental powers. We don't study all day, neither do we play all day. We need to do some of both. Did you remember the word obligation? It's something we're supposed to do. We are supposed to do something for God, for ourselves, and for the world. Yes, we are to love God as ourselves and the world. That is the people that don't know God. We're supposed to tell them about God's love and his desire to save them. That's called being a missionary. You thought you couldn't be a missionary without going to some far off country? Well, you can do it right in your town. Preserve every portion of the living machinery that you may be able or may use. Preserve means to take care of it. Your health depends on the right use of your physical organism. If you want good health, you must take good care of your body. Don't eat junk food. Now, go ask your mama what junk food is. We spoke about unhealthful habits of every order. Do you remember what unhealthful habits are? Late hours at night. Stay up past bedtime. Late hours in bed in the morning. You don't get up when the rooster crows. And rapid eating, not chewing your food well, are to be overcome. That means that you are to stop doing those things that are wrong. Masticate your food thoroughly. Yeah, chew. Now, what does that big word mean? It means to chew your food well. Have your room well ventilated. This is part of being healthy, day and night. Got to let in fresh air and perform useful physical labor. That's not going to the gym for exercise. Sister White says walking is the best exercise, and if you walk out to your garden and do some weeding, why, you're accomplishing both useful labor and exercise at the same time. So what is it? So this is what John meant when he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Or John 2. Don't just try to be healthy. Be a good Christian. All right, let's see. Are there any questions? No questions? Did I define all the big words that you don't usually hear? I hope so. What did you learn? Have you learned anything? No questions? I can't believe this. Kids are always full of questions. I was when I was little. In fact, my dad used to say, "Will you quit asking so many questions?"
Amen. Welcome, Brother Roland. I'm so glad that you are able to be with us. So walk with Jesus, dear little ones. And remember, on Friday, on the day before our review, you could sit with mommy or daddy or even your older sisters and go over the study. And if you have any question, and maybe you are a little bit shy out to be able to ask, you could ask your mommy or daddy or even your sister to post them in the room, and we, by God's grace, we will try to be able to answer them, okay? Next week, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled The Good Samaritan in our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, Bobola.
Father God, thanks for everything you do for us. Thank you for making this up this morning. Thank you for letting us be here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So next Sabbath, dear ones, by God's grace, that will be lesson 255, chapter 54, The Good Samaritan Part 3, and that will be held June 2nd, 2018. So have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath, dear ones. May you be blessed with the rest of the meetings as well. And welcome to all the guests that are coming in for the first time. We are so glad that you are here with us. Sabbath blessing, everyone.